I'm really honored to get to share with you today, and I've enjoyed our mixtape series. I've enjoyed hearing our pastors, and I get to serve with some incredible people, and we are very, very blessed. If you would open or click or turn on your Bible to Mark chapter 4, we're going to go there in a few minutes. Mark chapter 4. I was going to say, Pastor, you know how you hear those stories with someone who doesn't go to church because all they want is your money. They talk about money all the time. And you have a friend like that, and you, no, we don't do that at our church. You need to come, you need to come. So they finally come, and it's that one time in the year you talk about the blessing of giving. And they're like, see? Well, when I was thinking today that Carmen and I were going to share, it's like, you know, I bet there's somebody here today that you have a thing about women preachers. And you came 2 weeks ago and you heard Karen. I'm like, bam. And you're like, oh, came last week, Pastor Deborah. Bam. And then today it's like double bam. Well, I'm sorry, but you're just really special to God. And you're going to be blessed today. Mixtape. It's the songs of our life. And I love music. I love songs. I sing a lot. And I've learned that songs are very important to me, especially the ones that are the truth of God. Now, I have other songs, but today we're talking about the songs that changed my life. God created music. It's more than just notes. It's more than just words. It can influence my emotions. It affects me more than sometimes I think. And it shapes my thoughts. So I've learned to be very careful about the music that I listen to, especially in certain seasons of my life. When we think we're just listening to music, not paying attention, but one day the song comes on, you realize you're singing along with it. It's become part of you. That's how influential music can be. Well, I was wondering the other day, what if on our tombstones, right below your name, your epitaph, was like your top five songs on your playlist? That's all they put. You know how you can look and it says how many times you've played the song? Those top five. What would it say about your life? What would it say about who you love, what you believe in? Somebody that never met you and they looked at that, what would they know about you? Well, I know exactly what would be on my tombstone. Because in every season of my life, I have a song. And there's songs that help me refocus in that season to keep my eyes on Jesus. So I know the most played songs and how important they were to me. But it helps me. Well, today, I want to just address two of those. Because we know when we're listening to stuff, it's garbage in, garbage out. It's a word of God in, it's truth out. So I've had to learn, hold on to those songs. Well, I'd love to share with you all my songs, but I'm 63. That's a lot of seasons and very little time. So I've just picked two. The first season happened in a moment. It happened suddenly and quickly. It was October 25th, 2003. Pastor Scott was our senior pastor, and at the end of a Wednesday night service, he walked off the platform because he had a bad headache. And he collapsed, and he subsequently died of a brain aneurysm. That moment, I entered a storm. And it was a storm that was like a flood. It was a flood of grief. It was like a hurricane of emotions. And it was unbelief and shock. And because I was on pastoral staff at the time, it was dealing with everyone in our congregation who was in that same storm. We just couldn't believe what had happened. But in those days, I found myself singing a song over and over and over again. When the oceans rise and thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. Father, you are king over the flood. I will be still, know you are God. The second verse, I rest my soul in Christ alone, know his power in quietness and trust. And then I was like, screech, what? In the midst of a storm where you aren't sure you're going to make it, there's quietness and trust. And I kept thinking, how do you get there? Well, this is where I got to Mark chapter 4. It's toward the end of the chapter. We're reading the story when Jesus and his disciples, at the end of a day, Jesus had said to them, hey guys, get in the boat. We're going to cross to the other side. Now, while they were traveling, a fierce storm arose, and the disciples became afraid. Now, these are the same disciples that saw Jesus raise people from the dead. They saw him do miracles. They saw him heal blind, heal lame. Same man did all these miracles, and they're in this little boat, and now they're thinking they're going to drown. But it's a storm. Have you ever felt like that? You've been in the storm of the century in your life. Maybe it's a storm you're fighting for your marriage or your life. You're fighting for your financial stability or one of your kids. Maybe you're fighting for your career. You're fighting for significance. But it feels like Jesus has taken a nap. And in reading this story, when the disciples, it says they had to go down and wake him up because he was sleeping. I thought, what? How could he go to sleep? I mean, I'm sure he was exhausted because people all day long, but how did he get there? And then I began to ponder the story, and it never says why, but I felt like the Spirit helped me see something as I would sing my song, that I would rest in your quietness in the midst of the storm. I felt like, is it because he could trust the love of his Father? You have had little kids in a bad storm. They come running. If they can just sleep by you, they're fine because they trust you. Could it have been that Jesus knew God's not going to let anything happen to me that's not of his will? So he was at that peace. And I thought, Lord, how do I get there? Well, I want you to read with me Mark 4:39. This is when the disciples woke him up. And this is what Jesus did. Mark chapter 4, verse 39. If you don't have it, it's up here on the screen. Read it out loud with me. He got up, rebuked the wind, and said to the waves, quiet, be still. Then the wind died down, and it was completely calm. We tell the story to the kids a lot, and it's Jesus said, peace, be still. But back it up. We usually miss the part where it says he rebuked the wind. Why did he do that? Because it was the wind that was causing the waves. It's the wind that was causing the storm. For me, in the midst of that storm, of that unbelievable grief and shock, I thought, Lord, what is the wind? I realized it's fear. For me, you're not going to make it through this. This is the end of this church. It cannot recover from this. The shepherd's been stricken. You're done. And I knew I had to make a choice. Either I say to that wind of fear, no. Am I going to believe the fear, or am I going to trust in the love of my Heavenly Father? Am I going to trust that whatever happens, God loves us enough, he can take care of us. And in time, I got there. I knew it, but for it to replace the fear, to rebuke that fear and say, no, my Heavenly Father loves me, and this is his church. We will make it. And in the midst of your storm, you have to make that choice. First of all, identify what is it that's causing. Is it the fear? Is it confusion? What? Is it a hope deferred? Address that. And now, peace, be still. And it's a choice we make in every storm. But when I realized, if this is true, then I went to 1 John 4:18. This describes, there is no fear in love, but perfect love drives out fear. God's love is pure for us. Now, last week, Pastor Deborah talked about how much God loves us. And if you weren't here, if you need to hear it again, go online and listen to that again about how much God loves us. But in the midst of that storm, I made that decision to believe the fear or to trust God's love. It's decision time. If you're in the midst of a storm, what song are you going to sing? What song are you going to sing? I want you to know this. God's love for you is greater than your storm. Let me say that again. God's love for you is greater than whatever you're facing. Whatever the storm is in your life, God's love is greater. So what's your song going to be? The second season happened about 2 years after Pastor Scott died. I had started falling and having challenges. I lost use of this leg and then that leg, and then my arm started not responding, and the church was praying because we couldn't figure out what was going on, and the doctors just kept saying, you need to lose weight. And it's like, got it, but I think it might be more than that. And through the prayers of this church, who we knew we were fighting for my life, and some saints that God put in my life that actually saved my life, we discovered I had a tumor just below my neck that had grown inside the spinal cord sac. And as it grew, it wrapped like a snake around my spinal cord. And as it got bigger, it was crushing my spinal cord. So that's what was causing all the pain. And that's why I couldn't get my body to function, because no signals were getting from here to here. Had the surgery. There was no promise I'd ever walk again. There was no promise that they could get the thing out, depending if it had attached, if it hadn't, all this. Had the surgery, they got it out. And it was, Elizabeth, don't move for 24 hours. Now, I'm just a little bit claustrophobic. I keep it under control. But being told not to move, and you're all wrapped, and you got tubes and everything, and the pain, I kept saying to the doctor, what did you do to my neck? Because I didn't realize they would have to cut so much. And I woke up in the night, and it was dark. I don't mean that the lights were off, but I mean it was one of those moments that you have. You wake up in the night, and you have to make a decision. Well, Rebecca Bauer had brought a CD to me before my surgery. And on that CD was a song, Tommy Walker's Breakthrough. And I had the CD player, and they had a little remote, and they'd put it where my hand was, because remember, I couldn't move. And I could press that thing. And there was two lines in there that I played over and over and over. And I remember I started crying. I was like, Elizabeth, don't cry, because the tears would go in your ear and tickle. And there's nothing you could do about it. But it was, Jesus, you are brighter than my darkest night. You are stronger than my toughest fight. You are brighter than my darkest night. You are stronger than my toughest fight. Just one touch from you, my God and King, and I'll never be the same again. And I just played that over and over, and that made the hit list of my mixtape, because it got me through that season. Well, obviously, God was faithful. He did a miracle. I'm fine. But when you're facing, you know, you could be paraplegic, a quadruped, it's like, okay, God's love for me is greater. I'm going to get through this. And if that's true, what you're saying, God's still going to get me through this. But it's the songs that get me through those things. 1 Corinthians 10:13. No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, you will be tempted. He will also provide a way so that you can endure it. Maybe you're being tempted with fear. Maybe you're being tempted with anxiety. Maybe you're being tempted, finances, I don't know that I can tithe. Or you think, I know I'm not supposed to do this, but I just don't see any other options. Pick a song. Sing it that gets your eyes on obedience. Say, God, I know this is what it looks like here, but I'm going to believe you're faithful. This is my top song. On my tombstone, if it says Elizabeth Ewens, great is thy faithfulness. Oh, God, my Father. I told you I'm 63. He has never failed. Never, never, never failed. Would you please stand? Karen's going to lead us in this. It's my top mixtape song. Great is thy faithfulness, because it's true. God will never fail you.
Father, we thank you for your great faithfulness. Amen. Well, good morning.
Good morning.
It is so good to be here with you. Thank you, Karen, and thank you, Pastor Elizabeth. Pastor Elizabeth is in my office, and we get to share together daily, and the Lord has just graced me with her in my life, and I'm grateful for that. So here I am with you today. What an exciting opportunity. And Pastor Tim, when he asked each one of us to share this summer, he asked us to share a little bit about ourselves and a little bit about what God was teaching us. And I have to tell you, I was a little bit excited and a little bit terrified. Not because you're terrifying, because you're not terrifying at all. It's all good. But because honestly, as soon as he said it, I knew exactly what I was supposed to share. The problem was, I hadn't learned the lesson yet. God had already opened my eyes to what he was going to be teaching me this summer, but I hadn't walked through the process yet. I hadn't experienced it yet. So it was a little terrifying because I couldn't just sit down and write it like it was a lesson. I had to live it. And so I want to share with you a little bit of what I've been living this summer. But before that, I'll share with you just a tiny bit about me. One thing that you should know, most people who know me know that I'm a pretty big sports fan. I like a little bit of everything. I like football, basketball, baseball. My kids are swimmers, and so we love to go to their swim meets. And I confess, I am the loudest person at the pool. It is true. I was a cheerleader in high school, and I never got rid of that exuberance. Always have enjoyed that. I'm a big fan. But there is one thing I'm not all that much of a fan of. It would be Facebook. Facebook and I, we're just not fans. Well, no, most people my age, we're fans of this thing. But I have to tell you that I feel like my life is so full. And I have this wonderful life that I love. I have this amazing husband, Rick, which many of you would know. I have two beautiful children. Christina's with us today, and Aaron's over in the other building. They are great, and together we get to serve at this church, and we just love being a part of what God's doing here. And it is so much fun, but I have to tell you that at the end of the day, I have nothing left to look and really care about the picture of what somebody else ate for dinner. And I have to say that I don't really care about the latest cat video. It's just not my thing, not my thing. And I know I annoy my friends this way, but it is true. And I may have offended some of you because you may have given me a friend request, and I probably didn't respond because I probably didn't even look at it. And I apologize because you are my friends. And so today, I want to friend each and every one of you. That's enough. But honestly, I do. I want to share something that I would only share with a friend. I want to share a lesson that the Lord has given me that's pretty personal. But it's exciting, and I hope that in some way you can relate to it. So it all started pretty innocently one morning while I was doing my devotions. Now, I've done the same reading plan for several years. It's just something that I do on a regular basis, and so you get to kind of the same scriptures at every point during the year. Usually I'll read in the New King James Version, or I'll read in the NIV, because those are honestly the versions that my pastors over the years have used, and they're the Bibles that I have sitting at my house. But this year, I've had a really good time using my tablet to read the Word, and it's been fun because you can pick a different translation, you can see things a little bit differently, and it can be refreshing to read the same scripture, but read it from just a little different perspective. So that's what I was doing. I was reading in the New Living Translation. And that particular morning, the verse that caught my eye was Proverbs 3:3-4. And our team's going to put that up here for you, but if you would you read it with me loud and loudly? Never let loyalty and kindness leave you. Tie them around your neck as a reminder. Write them deep within your heart. Then you will find favor with both God and people, and you will earn a good reputation. Now, I have to tell you that day, those verses, they stopped me in my tracks. I felt like I had never, ever read them before. And I realized it was partially because I was in a different translation. So I pulled out one of my old faithfuls. I clicked over to the New King James Version. And it read, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you." Okay, that sounded a little bit more familiar to me. So I tried the NIV. And it said, "Let love and faithfulness never leave you." Okay, mercy and truth, that made sense to me. Love and faithfulness, that I understood. But loyalty, and specifically this word kindness, they as something that I'm to have tied around my neck and write deep within my heart, that I might have a good reputation with God and man, I felt like I had never ever heard that before. Now, your reputation, that's important. That's what you're known for. People know they can't find me on Facebook, and I'm okay with that. But people know, they know that they can count on me. In fact, I'm known for getting the job done, and I'm actually okay with that. That's a pretty good reputation. I'm also known for being somebody who calls it like I see it. The good, the bad, the ugly. And I'll tell you the truth. Sometimes that's good. And honestly, sometimes that can be a little ugly. But this idea of having a reputation of kindness, it stumped me. So I found myself finishing my devotions that day praying, "Lord, I don't think anyone accuses me of kindness. What is that? Show me what kindness is so that I can learn to tie it around my neck and write it deep within my heart." And with that, I closed my devotions and I went on with my day, But that was the beginning of this quest. So I started looking for answers. What is kindness? Now, the good old dictionary said that it's a quality of being friendly, generous, gentle, and considerate. That's okay, but to me, that was a lot of words to just say nice. That didn't seem quite that important. I was trying to figure that out. So I checked in a couple of Bible dictionaries. The first one said, it's an attribute of God and a quality desirable but not consistently found in humans. I could verify that. So the next Bible dictionary I read at least gave me a little bit of hope in understanding why this thing kindness is just hard to understand. It said the main problem with understanding kindness is that the fact that it's one of a series of terms that are overlapping and not clearly or consistently distinguishable in meaning. They keep kind of blending over each other. Kindness is usually listed in a whole list of things that we're supposed to acquire. Kindness, goodness, love, all of these things. And they begin to overlap and they define each other in that list. And I thought, okay, this does make me feel better, because it's not that I'm oblivious to the entirety of this thing, kindness, but that it's just one of the facets that I'm supposed to understand. And so I continued praying, Lord, show me this thing called kindness. And so I went back to the scripture and I began toggling between the different versions, because I really did want to see how these things related. Loyalty and kindness, mercy and truth, love and faithfulness. And as I did that, I sensed the Lord telling me in my spirit, kindness is truth administered with my love. And sure enough, as I continued to study, I found that the same root words that were in this scripture translated kindness, they were used in other scriptures, such as Ephesians 4:15, which is talking about speaking the truth in love. And I realized that my lesson to embrace, and my lesson that I hope you can embrace today, is that kindness is truth administered with God's love. And it was as though the Lord had done this stock pot full of ingredients. And he'd put them all in there. He'd stirred it up, put the lid on it, set it on the back stove of my life, just to let that simmer for a while. And so simmer I did through the summer on this. And a little time passed, and I was having a conversation with my sister. Now, I love my sister. She is an amazing woman, and I have such great respect for her. And she was my little sister growing up. She's 3 years younger than me. But she got married sooner, and she's got kids that are grown and fantastic and following Jesus and just amazing. And I have great love and respect for my sister. But I have to tell you that that wasn't always the case. In fact, growing up, we would tell you that we weren't even friends. And we laugh about it now. In fact, we joke about, it's kind of been an ongoing joke for a long time, that we didn't become friends until I went away to college. And so that's kind of been just a thing with us we've joked about. But a little while back, we were talking again about this thing, and we started kind of unpacking it. And as we talked, realized, wow, some of the thing that was the reason that we weren't friends growing up, some of that was because I was unkind. I was just simply unkind to my sister. Kindness, something I would share with a complete stranger, had eluded me in my relationship with my sister. And it pierced my heart. Not because the conversation was hard, but because God was teaching me this thing about kindness and about developing this in my life. And the fact that really, I hadn't had a reputation for kindness with my own sister. I did, however, have a reputation for telling the truth. She calls it like she sees it. I've heard that a time or two in my life. Yep. I could speak the truth into someone's life without any fear at all. But the problem was, I often delivered it
a little bit like a 2x4, hitting them in the head, telling them exactly what I thought. There wasn't a lot of love attached to it. Delivering that truth without kindness did not result in a good reputation with God or man. I'm wondering if any of you have that same issue. Have you ever found yourself beating somebody over the head with what you understood to be truth, only to step back and go, I have no idea why they're not responding the way I want them to. What's going on here? I'm telling them the truth. Well, you know what? Without love, it doesn't stick. It may stick, but it may hurt. And maybe it's, the worst part is maybe it's somebody who's close to you. Your husband, your wife, your kids, maybe your parents, maybe it's your neighbor or a coworker. There's somebody that you haven't exactly delivered truth in love. And so the Lord was teaching me, it's time to set down the 2x4. Okay, Lord, I can get that. I can set that down. But I need you to show me what truth looks like. I need to understand it. I need to grasp this thing. And immediately, what happened was, you know, when you're a kid and you do a lot of scripture memory, those things are hidden deep within our heart. And so when you ask a simple question of the Lord, he pulls those things right out of you because they're deep within your heart. And I said, Lord, show me, what does kindness look like? And I heard very clearly, a cup of water. A cup of water. Sure enough, it was Matthew 10:42. And if you give even a cup of cold water to one of the least of my followers, you will surely be rewarded. Maybe even with a good reputation, right? So my prayer became, Lord, teach me to be kind. Teach me to put down the 2x4 that I've been all too comfortable swinging. And let me instead be somebody who comes in with a cup of cool water. So recently I had the opportunity to make that decision when I had to approach a friend and I had to decide if I was going to pick up the 2x4 or if I was going to pick up the cup of water. You see, this friend, they had gone off the deep end. They had turned away from absolutely everything they knew in their Christian walk. And in so doing, they had hurt everybody in their path. Every family member, every friend, everyone that they called valuable in their life, including me. And I have to tell you, I was angry. I was very angry. You see, they knew better. But they just decided that they'd had enough. And everyone in our circle of friends, they'd picked up their 2x4 and they had started hitting. And they had hit him one at a time. They had hit him together. They had done so from every angle. And it hurt. And it did not produce the results that they were looking for. So it was my turn. And I have to tell you, honestly, I came to the party, or in this case, the fight, a little bit late, mainly because I wasn't paying attention to Facebook. But you know, honestly, you always find out the stuff that's important. But you got to remember, I was angry, and I was pretty skilled with that thing. And in that moment, the Lord was very gentle, and the Lord said, show them kindness. So we got together to sit down and talk. And they came very defensive. And they were ready for my best shot. In fact, that's pretty much what they said. Give me your best shot. I extended my hand. And I said, how you doing, my friend? And in that moment, something broke. It broke in me, and it broke in them. What broke in me was the anger was washed away. Absolutely washed away. And I was able to look at this friend, and I was able to see them as Jesus sees them, with love and compassion. And while I don't know everything that happened in their heart that day, I do know that the wall that they walked in with dropped. And we had a really good conversation. And no truth was compromised. None of it was set to the side. But all of it was accompanied with love and kindness. And there was an opportunity for God to do something that he couldn't have done if I had come swinging that. He couldn't have touched it. And I wonder today what you're looking at. What friend or family member you haven't been showing kindness to. Who is it that needs that cup of water? Perhaps you're somebody who's been really, really skilled with that 2x4. And this is a whole new thing for you. This is radical. Because let me tell you what did happen in me. I can't tell you. I don't know the end of that story. I don't know what God's still going to do in that situation. But I can tell you what happened in me that day. I learned the lesson of kindness. Kindness was now wrapped around my neck and written on my heart. And I learned a whole new way to communicate because I had a whole new understanding of God's love and his kindness. And that was worth it all. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.